Well, we see a lot of folks wearing masks today, and we see them when we're out and about, and there's very good reason for that. And I'm not trying to get political by any stretch of the imagination, but people wear masks to protect others from something that we might have. But today we're talking about being unmasked. It's the unmasked love of God. And what it means to approach this world and coming to this world with unveiled faces so that they may see not only what we have, but we may also infect them with something good that we have. Not the negative, but the good. And today we're looking at a passage that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And we're going to look at that this morning. It begins in this way. It says, "You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results." Now, as Paul and the other apostles were going around, traveling particularly around Asia Minor, they would encounter certain situations. Some of them would be good because they were sharing the message of Jesus Christ and what that brought, the love of God and the salvation that came through Jesus Christ. But there were some people they would encounter that weren't particularly thrilled about what they were saying and about what they were doing. But as they went around, what they did was not without results. What were those results? As we continue to read, it says, "We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, just as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in the face of strong opposition." Now, as Christians, we understand, we know the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins so that if we put our faith and our trust in Him, not only do we have the forgiveness of sins, but we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, which cleanses us and washes us of our sins and makes us the righteousness of God. And with that comes the promise of eternal life in heaven with Him. But as Paul and the other apostles were going around sharing this good news message, some people really were not happy with what they were saying. We know the church there in Philippi was probably one of the most persecuted churches of all the churches in that time. They were not a very wealthy city or town, but they were great. They had great wealth when it came to faith in God. Many in that area did not accept or receive what was happening in the church, and there was a lot of persecution, and many of them were treated very poorly. Paul and the apostles were a part of that. In fact, he said they were treated outrageously. We live in a nation where we're able to practice our religion freely, but it seems like in recent days some of those things have been challenged a little bit. There's some people that seem to be outraged by our beliefs and our faith. And so they treat us in a way that is outrageous. But as Paul and the apostles traveled on, even going there to Thessalonica, he said, "As you know, we were treated this way. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you the gospel, even in the face of strong opposition." In other words, they didn't let the things that happened in Philippi keep them from boldly proclaiming the truth of God's word. That's the thing we have to remember as Christians, that no matter what our society does, no matter what our culture does, we have to remain true to the word of God that He's given us. Amen? We must be true to the truth because our culture and our society and the way that people think changes constantly from one day to the next. But the Word of God never changes. In fact, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so therefore, we can put our faith and trust in something that never changes, not in a culture or an idea or a society that is in constant change. It goes on to say, "For the appeal we made does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Now, the reason that Paul would even have to mention this in the first place is because there were those people who were saying false things against the apostles. They were saying the exact opposite of what they were trying to do. And Paul says, look, we're not speaking out of error or out of impure motives. We're not trying to trick you in any way whatsoever. That's not our intention. But what we're trying to say to you is to help you. To help you in the deepest way possible through a relationship with God Himself. He says, on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but we are trying to please God who tests our hearts. That's the thing that we have to remember, that, you know, our culture and society teaches us all different kinds of things. And I know that there are sometimes people who call themselves Christians who get caught up in the cultural wars that are going on. And many times they give up on what the Bible says in order to fit into the cultural standards. They want to please people, so they give up on what the Word of God says. But as Christians, we can't do that, can we? We must depend on that which never changes, that is always true. The reason that God has told us that some things are wrong is because God loves us more than we can imagine. If he's told us that some things are wrong, it's because He knows those things are not what is best for us. But if He has also told us that there are some things that are good, we need to participate in them, He's told us those things because He knows that is what is absolutely best for us. And so we can't give up on the Word of God just because our culture changes. We can't change what the Word of God says just to be pleasing to people. That's not what Paul and the apostles were doing. They were trying to please God and not people. And in the end, it is God who judges our hearts, right? That's why it's so important to trust in the Lord. Goes on to say that, you know that we never used flattery, nor did we put a mask to cover up greed. And God is our witness. The thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is we don't have to add fluff, do we? It is sufficient. It is enough. And Paul says, look, we didn't come to you with flattery words trying to convince you of something that's not true. Nor did we wear a mask to cover up our greed. Because some of the things that people were saying about them was the only reason the apostles were saying the things that they were saying was to get into the pocketbooks of people. That they were doing what they were doing out of greed. And Paul says, look, we're not wearing a mask to try to hide something. We're not trying to cover up an ulterior motive. We are there in front of you with unveiled, unmasked faces, being who we truly are. Because any time we put a mask on, there is a motive behind that, right? Why do we have masks on today? It's hopefully to keep others from getting something that we might have. When a surgeon is in the operating room, he or she wears a mask. Why? So hopefully, if that doctor has something, they don't pass it on to the patient that they're loving and caring and trying to make well. They don't want to give them something that they have, so they put a mask on their face. There are other reasons why people wear masks sometimes. If people have ulterior motives, if they're up to no good, right? And they're trying to do something where they don't want to be recognized, they cover up their face to hide something evil in their intent. But the Bible, when it talks about Moses, maybe some of you remember that story about when Moses went to Mount Sinai, that mountain of God. And while Moses was there on the mountain, he was in the presence of the Almighty God. God gave him the Ten Commandments to give to the people of God. But as Moses came down from the mountain after being in the presence of God, the glory of God was shining on his face. Remember that story? And it says that when the people saw Moses, they were terrified. Because their belief was, if they saw God, they would die. That was the understanding. And so, to recognize or to see the glory of God shining on the face of their leader, Moses, they were afraid that maybe this glory would have been too much for them. So what did Moses do? He put on a mask, right? A veil. He covered his face so that the people would not have to see the glory of God on his face. He did it to protect the people from what they perceived as a danger. Sometimes it's important to wear a mask, but as we see in the New Testament, as Paul talks about this mask that Moses wore, this veil that he wore, that as Christians we can approach our faith with unveiled faces, unmasked faces. And we see that illustration in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Paul tells the church of Corinth, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." That's what we want, right? We want freedom. And so, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In this illustration, Paul was talking about how Moses willfully veiled his face. Not only did he veil his face to keep the people from seeing God's glory, but he also kept his face covered so that they would not see the fading glory as Moses continued to be outside of God's presence for a period of time. The Bible says that glory began to fade, and he didn't want the people to recognize that the glory was fading. He wanted to remind the people that God's presence was always with them, whether they saw it or not. And Paul says, when it comes to this gospel message that has been entrusted to us, when it comes to this great love that He has lavished upon us, as we approach this world, we approach them with unveiled faces. And with unmasked love, we want to infect people with what we've got. And what is it that we have? We have a love, a compassion, a mercy, a kindness, a generosity. All the things that God has commanded and asked us to be in that love. With unveiled faces, we hope that contagious love will infect those that we encounter. We don't have to wear a mask. There's no need for a mask when it comes to God's love, because that is what we want to share. There are some things that we don't want to pass on, and that's why we have masks on today. The negative things we don't want to pass on, but the positive things we certainly want to share with one another. That passage in 1 Thessalonians continues in verse 6. It says, "We are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority." They're saying, look, this isn't about us receiving glory. It's not about us receiving praise. We are coming to you as humble servants of God, servants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As apostles, we could have asserted that authority on you, but that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to come to you humbly and show you this great love so that you may join in with it. He puts it this way in the next verse. He says, "Instead, we were like young children among you." What kind of love do young children have? Even if a parent is abusive to a child, they still love their parent, don't they? It is a pure love. So as we have a father who is a good father, a heavenly father, who loves us and cares for us, here are the apostles coming as children, loving the people they are encountering, sharing that message of hope and love with them. He goes on to say, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you." A child that is in need of the mother's nourishment and cannot get it on their own, that mother will show love and compassion. And Paul says, look, this is how we've come to you. We're trying to feed you the Word of God, the Word that gives you life and hope. And that's how we came to you, because we love you so much. We were delighted to share with you, not only share with you the gospel, but our very own lives. And isn't that what the Christian faith is really about? It's about loving people so much. It's about approaching people with unveiled faces so that the love of God can be shared to the point where we're not just speaking words. We're not just putting on faces, but we're taking our very lives and we're investing in people. That's what the apostles were doing. They were investing in the people's lives. They were not asserting their authority. They were not trying to cover up something with a false mask of ulterior motive. But with unveiled faces, they were going to the people saying, not only do we love you, but we're going to prove our love to you by our actions. That's what unmasked love does. In what ways do we sometimes mask the love of God in our lives? As children of God, as those who say we claim the gospel of Christ upon our own, the love of Christ upon our own, in what ways do we sometimes mask that love and keep people from experiencing the love of Christ? Sometimes we do that by buying into our culture and our society, by doing the things that please people instead of pleasing God. But if we please our God and we continue to do what His Word says, then ultimately we're going to do the better thing. We're going to love people better than our perceived cultural understanding of love. Cultural love is full of flaws, but the love of God is perfect. Amen? The love of God is perfect. So let us, with unveiled faces, unmasked faces, share the love of God with others, infecting others with that love, hopefully so that through that infectious attitude of the Spirit of God, others will be changed and transformed more and more into the glory of God until we all, like Moses, shine with the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray this morning that you will forgive us for the times when we have taken this great gift and blessing of love and mercy and grace, of kindness and compassion, and we have put a mask on it. We have stifled it because we've not been willing to share your truth, what you desire for us to do and how you desire for us to live. Father, help us with unmasked love to enter into this world selflessly and change our world for the better. We know that the world may not always be willing to accept what we have to offer. But God, we can't allow those things to cause us to be compromised in who we are and who you've called us to be. Father, if we're going to put our faith and trust in something, let it be in something that is always the same, that is never changing, the same yesterday, today, and forever, not in something that changes with our culture, not something that changes from one day to the next. But Father, may our faith be secure in a love that is pure, a love that is sacrificial, a love that puts our desires aside in order that we may fulfill the desire of our God in heaven, by loving others, even as you have loved us, and help us to discover how to do that effectively. And we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.